Our sermon today is based on John, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Thank you, God, for a new year and new possibilities. So yes, Happy New Year, everyone. So far, so good. As we have in the past few years, we will have a word of the year for 2025. In 2022, the word of the year was dare. In 2023, the word of the year was enough. Last year, our word was ready. And this year? This year, our word will be promise. We will spend time looking at the promises God has made to us, and God has made plenty of promises to us, and God has not broken a single promise God has ever made, not a single one. To start out the new year, we will examine God's promise of peace, God's promise of power, God's promise of protection, and God's promise of purpose. Probably over the course of the year, more promises will pop up, I'm sure, because God's promises are never ending and they are always full of mercy and grace. We start with the promise Jesus made to his disciples and us just before he was crucified, when they gathered for the Passover before he was arrested. He knew the disciples' hearts were troubled by some of the things he said to them at that Last Supper. He told them he was going to be with them only a little while longer. He told them one of them would betray him. He told Peter he was going to deny knowing Jesus three times. He told them he was going back to the Father. He had also previously told them he was going to be arrested, tried, and crucified, but the disciples couldn't believe it. Or maybe it's better to say they didn't want to believe something so devastating and drastic could happen to Jesus. Knowing how confused and upset the disciples were and wanting to comfort and strengthen them for their coming testing, Jesus spoke this prominent promise, one that was not only given with love to his first disciples, but it's a promise that comes down to us too, his present day disciples, with just as much love, a promise that will last throughout eternity. It's a short promise, not at all complicated. It's the promise of peace. And isn't peace what we all long for? Especially as we look around the world today, remembering there is war in Gaza and Syria and Ukraine, remembering the devastating New Year's Eve attack in New Orleans, remembering the fire and floods that confronted us here last summer, thinking of families battling each other and the divisiveness decimating our own country. In the chaos of the world and all we have to cope with, we want nothing more than peace. It's what we prayed for during Lent. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He was born to bring us peace. But is this promise going unfulfilled? Has God broken this promise to give us peace? In this context, we must remember the word peace used here is the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is more than just the cessation of war. Shalom means wholeness and health and prospering and harmony and safety. Shalom happens when all the parts and pieces of our lives fit and flow together with all the parts and pieces of everyone else's lives and with God's will. Shalom happens when we work with one another to create a caring and comfortable coexistence and look to God to guide us into and oversee this creative work. Shalom happens when we want what is best for others rather than just for ourselves. Shalom is God's peace. God's peace encompasses compassion and justice and tolerance. God's peace is never-ending and solid. With earthly peace, there is always a tension that it won't last. It's always so fragile. Think of countries who make peace treaties with one another. The peace is only tentative. One or the other country could decide to break the treaty and then plunge them both back into the chaos and terror of war. How many ceasefires have been declared during the year plus of Israel's conflict with Hezbollah, and how many of them have been broken? You see, humanity's idea of peace is flawed. We really have no clue about how to live in peace with one another or how to see the value in difference and diversity and how to maintain peace. Jesus said it himself, I do not give you peace as the world gives peace. What kind of peace can it be if you're always afraid of losing it? The peace Jesus gives us depends upon us having a loving relationship with God, the Father, and Creator of us all. A relationship that helps us endure the hard times that come to us all. It's knowing God is there for you and with you, and God will take care of you no matter what. If we pursued God's peace, we wouldn't be so divided and so bullheaded about maintaining those divisions. If we pursued God's peace, we wouldn't be so stubborn and adamant about getting what we want at the expense of what others might want and need. Shelter, asylum, acceptance. If we pursued God's peace, we wouldn't be so selfish and we wouldn't be so jealous and we wouldn't be so petty if we had the peace Jesus has promised to leave with us. If we have the peace Jesus promised in our hearts, we wouldn't ever fret about someone having more material things than we do, or someone getting what we think is more than their fair share, or worrying that there isn't enough to go around for everyone. Spoiler alert, in God's shalom, there is enough for everyone. The peace that Jesus has promised to us is true peace. The peace Jesus has promised to us negates our constant human need to compete, secure, hoard, and protect and deflect. God, Jesus gives us a peace in a way the world simply cannot do. It's peace of mind, knowing you are always doing what you are called to do, being willing to let others hear and heed their own calls, being willing to be a peacemaker by bringing calm and focus and reconciliation into stressful situations. This is not something we can always do on our own. This happens when the peace of Jesus is working in us. It's peace with his power. We are well aware we may never realize the heavenly ideal of peace here on this earth, but that doesn't mean we don't try to find it and create it and maintain it and sustain it. In spite of the obstacles, in spite of the naysayers, in spite of the haters, we are still called to seek peace and pursue it. We're still called to live lives that show we have received God's peace and we are clinging to the promises God has made to us. God's peace isn't something we can claim for ourselves and deny to others. That's not how God's peace works. There's peace for us all. Sometimes we act as though there is a finite limit to what God can give. Sometimes we act as though there's only so much love, peace, mercy, and goodness to go around. And once we have ours, everyone else can just forget about it. Sorry about your luck. You snooze, you lose. We sometimes forget just who we're dealing with. The great God and maker of the universe, whose love knows no bounds and whose mercy is ever flowing and ever available to all who want to partake of it. God's peace prevails. These words of Jesus at the table in the upper room are, in a way, his last will and testament. He didn't have anything material to leave behind, no property, no money, nothing like that. But what he did leave behind for us is something intangible, and yet we can grasp and hold on to it. Something undefinable, and yet we know it when we find it. Something elusive and exclusive, and yet it's ours for the taking, and it's available for everyone. Jesus has left us a lasting legacy of love and a powerful promise that we can rely on. So as we start the new year, let us open our hearts to the peace, the shalom that Jesus left on the table for us. Let us pledge to be the peacemakers this world so desperately needs. Let us claim this promise from God. Let us resolve to live in God's shalom and pass the peace to others this year and always. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the promise of peace. Help us to present this present of peace to everyone around us. Thank you for sending Jesus to bring peace to us and to be your peace along with us. In his name we pray. Amen.